Hello, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, May 27th, 2013, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Huh, that would be me.
I wish I could stay home with you and fly toy airplanes.
I wish you could, too. So, alrighty then, as I promised, I have a swell Q&A show in store for you today. I have a whole bunch of very interesting correspondents vying for their moment in the sun, so to speak, and each one is ready to share his or her sex and relationship concern with us, and I will do my level best to make my responses informative, enriching, and maybe even a little entertaining.
Hobbies are important for the men, whether you're risking your life or flying little planes from a safe distance.
Speaking of those male hobbies, before we begin, a word from our sponsor. Today, LibidoStack. LibidoStack is what we in the business lovingly call a boner pill. But LibidoStack is not just any old Viagra knockoff, no siree. It's pure, all-natural, herbal formula that improves sexual health, combats erectile dysfunction, and increases the strength of your erection when aroused. Listen, I've tried LibidoStack, so I can testify to its effectiveness. In fact, you can see the review that a bunch of Dr. Dick review crew and I did of LibidoStack on my product review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. Simply use the site's search function in the header, type in LibidoStack, and you can read all our thoughts and comments.
I'm all about taking it to the next level.
Oh, that's good to know, because you can get your wood the natural way. Look for the handsome LibidoStack banner in the sidebar of my site, drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Let's mosey on over to the big voicemail machine and see what's happening there.
Hello, my name is Matthew. I'm calling from Mesa, Arizona. I'm 18, and I'm a male. I was wondering, is there any way that you guys sell like tickets or anything to do you guys have like a Pornicon or something like that for the classic gay comics? Do you have like a convention or something like that? Because I really, really, really want some tickets to go there and stuff. But the problem is, I need to be able to get there. But if nobody else, if my parents can't take me because they're too busy and stuff, I need some type way of transportation to get there. But I really want, or I also would like to see if you guys are ever going to do a video and stuff and make it available to buy and stuff. So, yeah. Also, how many guys have you had sex with and stuff? Because I want to be able to have it with a lot of guys, and stuff. So please respond as soon as you can. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, Matthew. So glad that you've been listening to my recent podcast featuring some of the marvelous talent of Class Comics. I had the ever so delightful and talented Alexander from Liverpool, England on my show back in March. Anyone who missed these shows should look for podcasts number 368 and 369. And just before that, I had the pleasure of visiting with that artistic genius from Vancouver, British Columbia, Butch McLogic. Anyone who missed these shows should look for numbers 361 and 362. And way back in October of last year, I introduced my audience to the prolific author and illustrator Logan Kowalski, who lives outside of Paris, France. Anyone who missed those shows should look for podcasts number 350 and 351. All three of these artists are in the Class Comics stable, so to speak. And in each of the postings I did, for all of these podcasts, I included a link to the Class Comics site, which is classcomics.com. Now, if you're looking for information about gay-themed Comic-Con, you might contact Class Comics directly and ask. What I can tell you is that there is an annual convention of a bunch of queer and alt-comic makers called BentCon. I suspect that if you reach out to Class Comics directly, they will refer you to this convention. You can find more information about visiting by visiting their website, bent-con.org. I noticed that this year's convention is in November, and it will be held at the Marriott Convention Center in beautiful downtown Burbank, California. Now, as to your follow-up question about how many guys I or any of my guests have had sex with, hey, I'll leave that up to either Alexander, Butch, or Logan to answer. Why not write them and ask them directly? You can find their contact information in the specific podcast postings that I mentioned above. Good luck. Next up is a gentleman with an amazing story to tell. I don't know his name, or his age, or where he's located, but none of that really distracts from his story, so let's give a listen, shall we?
Yeah, I met a guy quite accidentally at a house that he was trying to sell, and he was giving me a viewing of the house, showing me around, and then he took me into one room and dropped his shorts, and he had the most amazing, huge penis I've ever seen in my life. It was a white guy, huge hanging balls, and a good 8 inches thick penis, soft. He basically just wanted to show me how big he was. Found out he's on Bait World, Mr. Penis. But anyway, I don't know if there's a lot of people like that around, but quite amazing. First time I've ever seen anything like that in my life. Just incredible how huge his big penis was and his big hanging balls. I'm going to check out your site and see if I can find him. Just an amazing, huge, giant penis. But your readers might enjoy it.
Hey, thanks for stopping by with that story. How fun. Yeah, there are a lot of people out there who are exhibitionists. And what a fun kink that is for those of us who might be voyeurs. If you don't mind a little diversion, I want to share with you a little message I got a while back from a guy who claimed to have a total exhibitionist for a roommate. He wrote, "Hey Doc, like I'm totally straight, right? But my roommate is gay. He's hot and all, with a great body, and he's a total sex addict. Sometimes I hear him pounding ass through the wall. When he's drunk, he tells me about the guys he's fucking, and it's like all this really nasty stuff. I'm like totally not into cock or anything, but I can't help but wonder how it feels to touch one. I see my roommate naked all the time. He's like this total exhibitionist. Sometimes he even has a piss hard on in the morning. Nasty. I don't pay much attention, but sometimes I just want to reach out and grab his thing, just to see what he would say. I just don't want him to get the wrong idea. And if my girlfriend ever found out, she'd freak. So do you think my roommate would mind if I copped a feel? It's not like it isn't already hanging out and stuff. Do you think he'd rat on me to my girlfriend? Signed, Curious." And I responded to him like this. "Like, you are so totally not straight, dude. You are like the biggest closet flamer in the whole wide world. You're just itching for an opportunity to smoke yourself some pole, but you can't admit it." Sounds like several prominent Republicans I know, but I digress. "Like, I'll bet you totally jerk off while your hot roommate is pounding ass next door. And I think your girlfriend is this pathetic beard, too. She's got her eye on you, don't you know? She knows that if she turns her back for just a minute, you'll take it up the poop chute before you can say, friend of Dorothy. Let's face it, you want your girlfriend to find out about your secret obsession. By the way, what kind of self-respecting straight chick dates closet cases like you anyhow? I mean, like how could your roommate rat you out when everyone already has your number? Darling, when you find out you're a big fat homo, everyone will know. Dude, like you're totally going to grab your roommate's package one of these days real soon, regardless of what I say or what he might think about you doing it. Like you're a totally self-deluded about not caring that he walks around the house sporting a giant boner. And that shit you're trying to feed me about being scandalized by his nasty exploits? That's totally obvious, too. Methinks you doth protest too much. Listen up. If your roommate is a nice guy, and you aren't a total skulking dweeb, if you have the balls to come clean with your roommate about your true identity, and he hasn't pounded any ass in the past 12 hours, and if he's feeling really generous and you ask him real nice, yes, I think there is a slim chance he will bone you big time. It will, of course, be a mercy fuck for sure, but at least you're finally gonna know true bliss. Like, totally go for it, dude. Jeez. So, now we hear from Dan.
Yes, my name is Dan. I am 24 years old. Gender is male, I suppose, but, I mean, you know, who knows these days. And my question was basically, is rimming something that is indeed, I don't know if it's a high-profile question, but is it dangerous with respect, you know? Well, you know, that's my question. Bye-bye.
Thanksgiving cookies.
Hey, Daniel of Indeterminate Gender. You want to know if rimming, or ass-to-mouth contact for those less familiar with the term rimming, is dangerous with respect to, well, you know. Well, that sure was articulate. I guess you want Dr. Dick to fill in the blanks. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you want to know about the health risks involved in rimming, right? Why not just come out and ask? Hey, Dr. Dick, is eating ass going to make me sick? Let me preface my comments with this universal statement. There is some risk involved in everything that we do. Are you breathing this air? Are you drinking this water? Are you eating this food? Are you driving a car? Yikes, especially here in Seattle. Then you are at risk of serious bodily injury. Are you noticing the increase in health advisories issued for air quality, the ever-increasing frequency of food contamination scares? And I'm sure I don't have to call your attention to the worsening traffic and the endless parade of really bad drivers out there. And yet, we continue to breathe, eat, and move about in our traffic as if there were no risks at all. We do so because it's hard to live a normal life without. Rather than wall ourselves up somewhere to avoid all the inherent dangers in life in this modern world, we do our best to minimize the risk by keeping ourselves informed and staying alert to the signs of danger. The same is true for any and all risks associated with sex. Trust me, I'm not here to diminish any perceived health risks associated with folks bumping parts with one another, but I do want to put them into perspective. Minimize health risks associated with sexual contact by others by being informed about the sexual issues in general and the health of your partners in particular. Also, stay alert to signs of danger, lesions, inflammations, abnormal odors, pain, are all warning signs that things are not okay. And nothing, absolutely nothing, is more important than hygiene, especially where butt munching is concerned. To that end, I'd like to initiate a little code, you know, like the fun rainbow-colored Homeland Security codes that we've all come to know and love. However, unlike the Department of Homeland Security, Dr. Dick promises he will never use an advisory code as a political tool. The Dr. Dick code will be, from here on out, this simple. 1. Advised. 2. Advised with minimal risk. 3. Advised with caution. And 4. Not advisable. Now, back to you, Daniel. Dr. Dick is going to label rimming advised with caution. This is a minimal risk for HIV transmission. However, the presence of anal bleeding or bloody gums makes rimming not advisable. Rimming does carry the risk of parasite infections and bacterial infections. Hepatitis is also a risk. But there are hepatitis vaccines out there, and anyone who is engaged in sex with another human being, eating ass or no, who isn't immunized against hep is simply a damn fool. Good luck. The last voicemail for today was left by a fella who sounded like he was just coming down from a meth trip. And he's here to report that he has had some burning sensations when he ejaculated. Bear with him because his message is kind of garbled.
I have a question about what's related to drugs and sex. And, well, I did some meth, and I had sex with this girl that I don't really know. And I was wondering if the burning sensation during ejaculation was from the girl or the drugs.
Okay, if you missed any part of that message, here's a transcription of what I think I heard. I did some meth, and I hooked up with this girl I barely knew. A few days later, I had sex with my girlfriend, and it burned only during ejaculation. I'm wondering if it could have been the drugs causing that, or if I need to get checked out. The short answer to your question is you definitely need to get checked out as soon as possible, and your girlfriend needs to get checked out too. Sounds to me like you got yourself a dose of the clap, or gonorrhea, as you prefer. This is not a particularly uncommon thing these days, and it is very easy to attend to. Now, the girl you hooked up with, the one you barely knew, probably doesn't know that she's infected either. So, if you see her again, you might want to politely suggest that she get a checkup too. Now, I want to emphasize the word politely because there is no need to shame her. I didn't shame you. The clinic personnel won't shame you or your girlfriend, and in turn, you ought not shame this other woman. Get it? Got it? Good. And thanks for being conscientious about your health and the well-being of your partners. Good luck. Now I want to address a burning question of a completely different kind. I've titled this little ditty, Porn Woes, Amateurs Displace the Kings of Porn. Well, you got trouble, my friend, right here. I said trouble right here in Porn City. Oh, we got trouble right here in Porn City, right here in Porn City, with a capital T rhymes with P, and that stands for smut. My apologies to Meredith Wilson for the obvious rip-off of his lyrics from The Music Man. Sex fans, Porn City is in crisis. Not only have porn producers discovered, to their great dismay, that smut is no longer recession-proof, now, mere peons are usurping the industry's throne. Lamentations can be heard echoing throughout Pornville. A wringing of hands has replaced the ubiquitous hand job. Only 5 years ago, 80% of porn producers' income came from DVD sales. Today, it's less than 20%, and some speculate that sales could flatline in a couple of years. Interestingly enough, porn consumers are on the rise, and porn profits, sadly, are tanking. What gives, Dr. Dick, you might be asking? Good question. Probably it's the constellation of causes. Over the last 10 years, numerous upstart production houses have cut into the porn pie, leaving ever smaller pieces of that pie to go around. But the bigger problem is American households are using broadband connections to the internet in an ever-increasing number. Now, over 80% at last count, and it's growing exponentially. This brings the immediate gratification of porn to hungry consumers via the web, streaming media, and download-to-own capacities have choked the life out of the DVD. I mean, who schleps down to the local adult video store to buy or rent anymore? No one I know. And while sales of the internet-based adult entertainment grew 14% last year to a whopping $2.8 billion, that figure would be substantially higher if there wasn't all this free competition. We can thank the tube sites for that. The proliferation of free sites allows anyone and everyone to post all the user-generated content he or she wants. And let's face it, there's nothing more compelling than watching the neighbors get it on, right? Of course, there's a boatload of copyright, age verifications, and privacy concerns, but this is still the internet frontier, so it can be pretty lawless out there. Tube sites thrive on amateur home videos that depict real people having ordinary sex as opposed to the often unbelievable people and unreal scenarios of commercial porn. And these amateur production costs are tiny compared to the big production houses and that they put out for a feature film. So the amateurs are killing the business for the big boys. To counteract this, some porn producers offer subscription sites which gives user access to a treasure trove of content in exchange for a membership monthly fee. This boosts profits, of course, but it's still the same old commercially produced stuff, and after a while that gets pretty old. And on top of that, the new membership site revenue stream doesn't even come close to offsetting the decline of DVD sales. What's happening in porn right now is just like what happened to the music industry a few years ago. CD sales are down like 100% almost since 2005. And we all know that sales are never going to rebound. Hey, remember the VHS format? Remember how it revolutionized video entertaining in general and adult entertainment in particular? Porn moved out of seedy theaters in unsavory neighborhoods and right into the living rooms of average Americans. Suddenly, pornography had a huge audience. Millions of new customers showed up virtually overnight. VHS was king from 1980s till the turn of the century. But who among us has a VHS player these days? I suppose you see where I'm going with all of this, right? When the DVD usurped the VHS tape, DVD sales soared. But the DVD was king for only a couple years. Now the web has replaced the DVD. And for the first time, technology is hurting big porn. Everyone thought that the internet was going to be a plus for the established porn industry, but the opposite actually happened. And the big boys are scared, real scared. There is now a level playing field on the net. Anyone with a video camera and an exhibitionist streak can compete with the porn moguls and win. The tube sites, YouPorn, PornTube, XTube, Gay4It, whatever, that delivers the content didn't invent internet porn, but they sure did make it exponentially easier to access. Most of the posted videos are very short, but the variety of the offerings is amazing. There is gay stuff, straight stuff, and everything in between. It's a smut bonanza, don't you know? Now, some of the clips are indeed amateur videos shot and uploaded by their exhibitionist creators. But here is the real problem for Pornville. A lot of the uploaded clips are copyrighted materials ripped off from professional pornographers. The tube sites are awash with scenes from high-end features. It's true that porn companies post some clips as trailers for their full-length versions available on their own sites, but most of these clips are uploaded by users from their own collections, and that generates zero revenue for the kings of porn, which makes them very unhappy indeed. Why should I care, you might be asking yourself right about now. Rapacious porn producers deserve exactly what they get, right? After all, they're getting fat on the backs, literally and figuratively, of adult performers, and that ain't right. Exploitation sucks, and not in a good way. I hear what you're saying. What goes around comes around, and I'd agree with you except for one thing. Intellectual property rights. Piracy is piracy, regardless if it's happening off the coast of Africa or in your own den. And when we first play fast and loose with property of others, it makes it a whole lot more difficult to protect our own property. You know, I'm in favor of a level playing field where amateurs and pros duke it out for the hearts, minds, and boners of their audience. But unfair business practices are indefensible regardless of where they come from. Good luck. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at the same time for another edition of the Erotic Mind series and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Libido Stack. I know what you're thinking. With so many herbal supplements on the market that boast fast-acting results, it's hard to know which erection-enhancing formula to choose, or if one shouldn't just avoid them altogether. I always tell my clients, beware of the bogus claims and dangerously adulterated products that abound in the marketplace. Libido Stack is different. It is made of 100% herbal extracts, and it is effective as any medically prescribed drugs I've tested, but much kinder to my system. There are no headaches, no unsightly flushes, upset stomach, rise in blood pressure, or altered vision. As you know, every single human body is unique. Each of us metabolizes what we consume in a slightly different way, so keep that in mind when you use Libido Stack. And just so we're clear, Libido Stack is not miraculous. It will not override an unhealthy lifestyle, but it can positively affect our sexual response cycle, making us more easily aroused as well as more energetic lovers.
You know, instead of trying to force me to wear a dress, why don't you worry about getting Luke to wear some pants?
And on that note, that's it for today. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.